Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets for this Wednesday morning. And with our pre-opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Cash hog prices today are expected to be mostly steady overall, but there could be some mixed undertones at the outset. Terminals are called generally steady, with top prices from $46.50 to $52. Peoria called steady today, with the top price of $46.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, July 24th, negotiated swine purchases were 16,870 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $63 to $75.01, and the weighted average was $69.44, a gain of $1.45 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.44 to $56.25. And the weighted average was $54.44. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 15,528. The base price range was $62.50 to $77. The weighted average, $73.09, a gain of $2.07 from Monday. On a live basis, bales and gilts sold from $49.46 to $58, and the weighted average was $55.31. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. And Mike, we've had some gloriously mild conditions the last, well, 4 or 5 days.
Well, Dave, we have had temperatures cooler than average. And despite the dry conditions with very little precipitation across the eastern portion of the Corn Belt, and that's a little bit of an anomaly because there have been some pockets of rain across the Ohio River Valley and down towards the eastern Tennessee Valley, but most of the area has not picked up much in the way of precipitation, but it hasn't really been too stressful since we've had very low or reasonably low temperatures and mild conditions across the area. Now, we are starting to see more scattered showers moving from the eastern Great Lakes and the Ohio River Valley towards the western Great Lakes. It doesn't look like much in the way of precipitation west of the Mississippi River associated with the upper level low, but a cold front has started to trigger some showers and thunderstorms in the driest areas of eastern Montana, western portions of the Dakotas, and the two systems will meet up somewhere across the eastern portion of the Corn Belt. And there could be some significant showers across generally Illinois, Indiana, over the next couple days, and beneficial rains for the driest areas in southeastern Indiana, northern Kentucky. They have had very low amounts of rain in proportion to average for this summer, so very beneficial conditions there. And showers right now confined to the eastern portion of the region, while hot, dry conditions across the upper Midwest are increasing the stress on corn and soybeans. In the southern portion of the growing area across the southeastern U.S. and into the eastern Delta, many pastures and summer dry crop areas are continuing to benefit from the recent topsoil moisture improvements. Underlying drought does continue there. In contrast, nuisance rains will continue across portions of southern Texas, and that will cause fieldwork delays and local flooding concerns. The almost typical summer conditions still being suggested for the Midwest over the next couple weeks, with temperatures being mildest during the latter part of this week and into the weekend, and then a warm-up starts to show up next week. Weak disturbances are expected into Saturday and again during the mid to late week next week and continuing that into the following weekend. So it does look like many areas will pick up at least some scattered showers and thunderstorms. The least amount of rainfall is expected in the driest areas in the northwestern portion of the Corn Belt over that two-week outlook period. For the Delta in the southeast, the showers and thunderstorms brought as much as 1.25 inches of rain from east-central Mississippi through interior southern Alabama and southern Georgia, northeastern Florida yesterday. Many of the areas included were in the driest parts of the southeastern states, and the rain was quite welcome there. Some other growing areas outside the U.S. In Australia, light showers did occur across the west coast of western Australia and scattered showers throughout the east coast regions of the country. And a two-week outlook period does look to bring of drier conditions to Western Australia and a little more rain in the southeastern crop areas. Eastern portions of Western Australia, which includes New South Wales and the Queensland area, will continue to be the driest. Moisture is needed, but there is still some time to occur before the spring growing season arrives there. And in China, frequent showers and thunderstorms occurring over the east central and southeastern portion of the country over the next 5 days. Not much rain will fall in the northern half of the Yellow River Basin or the northeastern provinces for the next several days, but rain will eventually return to the region. A more organized push of rain is expected to return into northeastern China next week, with the heaviest rainfall in the Liangjiang area, while drier conditions in the Heilongjiang receive only light amounts initially. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 6:30 unchanged. Last trade up a half. December 6:44 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. Last trade down a quarter. September wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 6:40 and a half, down 1 1/2. Last trade down 3/4. December 6:59 unchanged. Last trade down 1 3/4. March 6:60 and a half, up 2 1/2. Last trade unchanged. July 5:80 down 1 1/2. Last trade unchanged. September corn opened at 3:11 and a half unchanged. Last trade up 2 3/4. December 3:27 up a quarter. Last trade up 3 1/4. March 3:42 unchanged. Last trade up 3 1/4. August beans opened at 8:21 up 3/4. Last trade up 3 3/4. September 8:28 3/4 unchanged. Last trade up 4. November 8:44 1/4 down 1 1/4. Last trade up 3. January 8:61 down 1. Last trade up 1/4. August soybean meal opened at 2:15.80 up 40. Last trade up 1.60. August soybean oil opened at 36.83, up 4, last trade up 11. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Well, yesterday, with the exception of the nearby September wheat contract at the Board of Trade, all the futures made new contract highs. Question is, when will the bubble break?
Well, that is the question. I was really surprised at the degree of yesterday's strength. The funds sure seem to have a love affair with wheat, kind of like the last thing they've climbed on board. Of course, the rains in Europe were given as kind of a reason for the catalyst there. But I think we're close to this thing peaking out here, if you ask me. Our spring wheat is in phenomenal shape here right now. Sure, it's hot out there, but let's not forget it's the end of July. We're talking about northern plains states, so I don't think the temperatures are anything extraordinary. So I would look for this thing to be peaking out pretty quick here.
Well, the hedge funds had sold off most of their net long positions into last week. That might bode for further strength. I'm not sure.
Well, that could. The fund net longs still aren't really anything compared to the kind of positions we've seen them amass in the corn and the beans, but they never do have as much in the wheat long for short. But there's still plenty of room for them to go either direction at this point. There's no doubt about that if they want to commit more capital to it. But being up here at such historical high prices right now might be a little bit of a limiting factor too.
Corn and soybeans followers today to whatever wheat might do?
Oh, I don't think so necessarily. I think everything's kind of on their own track here right now. You get different technicals, vastly different fundamentals. You put it all together, I think in the big picture, they're all going to kind of follow their own tune.
Then turn your attention to the corn and give me your technical analysis there.
Well, we're still attempting a bounce here, and it's been a pretty feeble effort, I think. The sense is that, you know, our corn crop is pretty much made, which I don't think it's true, although we are running out of time for a problem of real significance, I would think. But technically, I think we probably have some pretty good resistance, anywhere from like 3 to 8 cents higher than where we closed last night, or 3 higher. And and I think it'd be very difficult to get through there. In other words, I'd be very surprised if people aren't able to tack on as much as a dime from these levels. On the downside, I think, you know, a test of the recent lows is probably in the cards sooner rather than later, and if and when that happens, I think you will see more fund liquidation.
And the beans?
A similar kind of picture. I think there's some pretty good resistance, so 5-10 cents above us. We're pretty close to 50-day moving average there. We could certainly run up there and give that a shot. I mean, there's definitely some questions about the rain and growing conditions right now, but it doesn't seem to be anything real serious in the offing here at this point. It's like there's enough chances for scattered rains around that I think it's going to be difficult to push up beyond that level on a lasting basis. So, 10, possibly 15 cents from up here, my guess would be kind of contain this thing. And, there, too, I would look for some fund liquidation if and when we can break the support about 5 to 7 cents below us.
Thank you much, Clayton.
Okay, thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is located in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILO Urbana on the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILOAG.org.